My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Lydia Pierre.
Add value right where you are. So a lot of times people don't realize that just by branding yourself within your company or within the organization, the attention that you garner in your role tends to bring a lot of attention to your company as well.
Lydia is a branding coach and a consultant who provides services aimed at empowering entrepreneurs with skills and strategies to reach new levels of leadership. Her niche market is executives, whom she counsels through the process of maintaining, improving, and upholding their reputation right where they are as they build their brand. She does this by developing, implementing, and executing strategic solutions that help to ensure a smooth transition to entrepreneurship for the executive, allowing their brand to remain favorable to their current audience as well as potential customers. Lydia, welcome to On Brand.
Hi, Nick. Thank you so much for having me. Such a pleasure to be here.
I'm excited to chat with you. It's a new year, and many are thinking about their personal brands, and it may even be on a New Year's resolution or two. So my question, Lydia, is where does one start if that is sitting on that pesky New Year's resolution list of that personal brand, fix it?
Yes. Well, it all starts inside of yourself by taking a look at yourself and seeing where you want to be and what your hopes and your dreams and your vision is for your future. I mean, until you're able to embrace who you are and really accept that you can be and live up to that potential, it's really difficult to make that change for you if you're not willing to make it for yourself. So it sounds cliche, but it starts from within.
So is there an exercise? Is there a word? What do you, because that can, the look inside oneself can sometimes be a scary thing. So is there, what are the crutches, the guideposts that we can grab onto to help us get something out of that is something that we can take, that's something we can use as, I hate saying a marketing deliverable,
but I know.
But that feels a little bit more like a marketing deliverable or something that we can
tangible.
Grab onto. Yeah.
Yes. Something a little bit more tangible. Well, it starts with, okay, I would say this. Let's say you do have a business, like we said, I work with executives, especially transitioning into entrepreneurs. So a lot of my clients are people who have that dream or that vision of getting out of their 9-to-5, or their corporate job and starting their own thing. They have to actually have a business idea. They need to start with a business idea. How about that? Maybe they actually know what they want to do so that we could be able to put together a strategy to help them transition from where they are to where they want to be while keeping their relationships intact. That's the key for me with my clients, is that a lot of times the executives are already in a position of authority, and it's a position that's either high profile or one that they can absolutely use in their transition. So many times people are so stuck on the fact that I don't like my job, I want to get out my job, that they don't see that right where they are, they can leverage who they are and the relationships that they have and take it with them if they do it the right way. So that's a very key part, is really take a step back and really take a look at who you are, where you are, and how you could take that with you into your next chapter.
You know, that's a great point, too. I love your focus on executives that are transitioning, because I know many. I'm often talking with many. And the fact of the matter is, this is kind of an awkward thing, but I'm sure as you talk about people that are at this stage or considering entering this stage, they may be doing some concurrent planning. You know, I'm still here, but I want to make sure that I'm building my brand. I always kind of liken it to a lifeboat that you're getting ready. That sounds decidedly right. Dire, but something that you're packing up while you're still in this role. How do you reconcile that concurrent planning that we have to do to both build a brand and kind of continue in what we're doing?
Right. So the tricky part when you're an executive at times can be a conflict of interest. Let's just be honest. Not many times do people like the idea of you positioning yourself to leave the company, to leave the position you're in, which is why another key to that is to add value right where you are. So a lot of times people don't realize that just by branding yourself within your company or within the organization, the attention that you garner in your role tends to bring a lot of attention to your company as well. And in that space, you actually add value. And it might even put you in a position where you can actually ask for either more money or pay raise or something of that nature because of the level of expertise and awareness that you're raising on behalf of the company. And as a result, you actually are in a better position while you are in there. Oftentimes that is the case. And then that's also how you are able to make that transition, because now that you've shown that you have additional value and you add value, now they almost don't want you to leave. So they either find ways to get you to stay or get you to work with them, work alongside them. So they kind of figure out ways to make it work and in your favor. So you're able to basically build your brand on your way out.
You know, we're touching on something interesting here, and I feel like whenever we talk about personal branding, it seems like there's kind of a messy closet full of stuff that comes with it. And one of those is this dynamic that you're touching on, because I think sometimes internally there's even an odd dynamic that can happen between the organization in terms of we don't know how we feel about our executives, our people developing their own brand. Is that a scary thing for us? Is that a bad thing for us? And the individual, because of that odd culture around personal brands, doesn't always know what to do or is left with some education also. How can we better start that conversation about personal brand building from the organizational and individual level?
How do we look at it from that point of view, you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, whether that's helping organization understand that personal brands aren't, you know, your people developing their own personal brands is a net positive.
Absolutely. And like I said a little earlier, the level of attention that you garner on behalf of the organization, and you almost essentially you position yourself as a brand ambassador, in a sense, for your own company, while leveraging the authority you have in that position and in that role. And you take the company's name and title with you whenever you go to speaking engagements, or you go and you help another organization, or maybe you're doing charity work. Every time you go somewhere, you take the name of the company you're with you, and use that not only to make you credible, but also to garner awareness for the company as well. So now as you're adding value to yourself personally, you are also adding value and taking that company's brand with you everywhere you go and mentioning them. So it's kind of like giving them credit, basically. It's kind of like giving them credit for everything that you're doing and the people that you're meeting, and just making sure you drop your name a little bit. It just happens to be that the name that you're dropping is the name of your company.
Well, it's interesting here, too, because part of me wonders, you mentioned the idea of a brand ambassador, and it seems like a lot of times brand side, at the organization level, I'm a lot more comfortable having someone as a brand ambassador. When they're developing their personal brand, I'm not sure what they're up to. So it almost seems like when we talk about the, you know, it's ironic, theoretically, being in branding communication, that some of our words, our language around branding and personal brands is a little clumsy. And I wonder if having conversations about people being brand ambassadors isn't a better place to start to help the organization get more comfortable with that.
Yes, and that essentially helping ease them in that sense and position yourself as such. Now, whatever you call it, you call it. That's fine. But as long as the way you're moving is not threatening, it doesn't create conflict. Of course, we still have to make sure that we guard ourselves and make sure that we carry ourselves appropriately because we are still affiliated with that company. So, of course, you want to carry yourselves in a way that is respectable, is something that is not shows that you're knowledgeable, but also you win anyway, because if you're moving around, it's still you. You're the face. Yeah, you're attached and affiliated with this company, but it's still you that people are seeing. So the better you do in that role of brand ambassador for that company, the more people see you, the more they recognize you, and the more they know, like, wow, isn't that so-and-so from who's the chief marketing executive at so-and-so bank? It's like, yes, that's that person. And they'll just start to know you, and your personality will start to shine through from behind that role, essentially.
On Brand, we'll be right back after this.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Now, back to the show. So when we talk about this work of building your personal brand and looking inside yourself, then, you know, there's that foundational work to do. Then it becomes the living of that personal brand and building that brand day in and day out. And that's where, you know, back to the New Year thing, we start off with these best laid plans. But then other things come up, fires that we need to put out. How do we stay focused on that work and find a way to live that daily personal brand building work?
Well, first it starts with forgiving yourself and knowing that you are going to mess up. You are going to fall back. There'll be good days. There'll be bad days. You're going to have ebb and flow just like anything. You're human. So giving yourself grace, you know, and understanding that even if you did miss a couple of days or you had a couple of missteps, that it's okay, you could get right back on track. Every day is a new day. Every moment is a new moment. You can start right from where you are every moment. So as long as you catch yourself and you don't say, oh man, I messed up, let me just continue on this path of messing up, then you should be fine. Like, you'll be fine. So just give yourself grace and just keep pushing. Every time you catch yourself, just realize, wow, I caught myself. Good job. And you just keep going. It's just really that simple.
You know, this is an interesting concept too, because I feel like we're unearthing all of the baggage with branding here on this episode.
Right.
Because I think what you're alluding to, that need for grace with yourself, and I'd say this applies at an individual personal branding level and with organizational branding also.
Yes.
Because I think there is an implied strictness with branding that, you know, I live in Iowa, so I'm here in the Midwest, and it's a big agriculture state. And, you know, here we have the added baggage of branding livestock, of branding cattle.
I think
that kind of is where some of this extremeness comes from. That it's this or that. It's you gotta be. I mean, even the name of this show, on brand or not. But I think that grace is the first step in understanding that maybe there's not the same level of strictness around this that we think.
And how about this? It makes you more relatable because it actually humanizes you. So when you allow yourself grace and you maybe even talk about your mistakes, it makes you more relatable. And isn't that what branding is really about? It's about that emotional pull. It's about that connectedness, you know, that you're able to get with your audience. So giving yourself grace and maybe even saying, hey, I messed up. I mean, how many brands have messed up? And when they owned up to it, that's when people really got back on board with them, because they was like, wow, that was really big of them to admit that they did this or did that. For everyone from celebrities to, I mean, it happens. We're human. We are human. So you're going to mess up. It's one thing we can guarantee is you're going to mess up. It's just, what do you do after you mess up?
Well, and you hit the nail on the head with the H word, which is yet another, I don't know if it's a misconception, but we want our brands to be more human. And how do I do that? How do I be more human? And The scary thing for many is that it involves embracing mistakes, embracing missteps. I also want to come back to what you just said too, about it's not a question of when you mess up, because I think that that's something that has us almost paralyzed as brand builders today, because something's going to happen. I mean, it's I've made the joke a few times that Peloton as a brand has gotten. It seems like it always happens to them around the holidays too. They had the ad a couple of years ago with the wife getting a bike, and she has a look on her face that isn't super great. And then of course the Sex and the City follow up here this year that brought a surprising finality to a favorite character there at the hands of a Peloton.
Right.
And we're all watching this thinking, geez, I'm scared to build a brand today. So who knows what I'm going to step in tomorrow? So how do we, beyond building brands, how do we start the day without fear?
Wow. That's a hard one. Because fear, I guess it's just how you look at it. Is it really fear, or is it fear of what, I guess, is what you would ask yourself. Is it fear of success or fear of the unknown? And at the end of the day, if it's the fear of the unknown, the honest truth is everybody knows that nobody knows. No one knows what we're really doing at the end of the day. We're all figuring this out. Like, even with this pandemic that came, we all had to pivot and kind of enter this new space of virtual everything. And we did it. We're still here. I mean, the unknown is actually the best thing that can happen for you. For a lot of people, a lot of brands grew during the pandemic, and that was a big unknown. So, I mean, you just gotta trust that you got you, that you can bet on yourself at the end of the day, especially. And that brings us right back to why personal branding is so important, because when you build your personal brand, you're literally betting on yourself. You become your own backup plan. You become your own exit strategy, essentially. Like, because you are everywhere you go, you take you with you. So if you're actively building your brand and actively working on the brand that is you, you can't lose, because you are your everything.
Well, and you just brought up the stakes in all of this, because just, you know, when we talk about, and I feel like we've gotten out all of the challenges here in our short conversation of doing this work, but why you have to do it is back to what you just said. I'm reminded, you talk about entrepreneurs, and you know, the famous entrepreneurial mantra that you know, the best job security, people fear being an entrepreneur because of job security, the best you can have is when you, many say, make your own way. And likewise, the overlay on that is that's where your brand is one of your most critical assets. Mm-hmm. That you have to be building over time so that it is there when you need it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because at the end of the day, when you look in the mirror, it's just you and you. So if you don't like what you see, then you're going to reflect that in everything you do. It's going to show up in your work. It's going to show up in how you connect with people. It's going to show up in your relationships. And that's damaging. Now, you want to talk about brand crisis? That's a brand crisis, when you don't like who you are, and now it's projected in everything you do. And sometimes you don't even know you're doing it, because it's subconscious sometimes. So, but people pick up on it. So, and then that's when you get into pretending that you're someone you're not, putting up false facades, all of these things. And then people see right through that, because you're not being authentic, because you've never embraced who you really are. So it's important that you are you and you like who you are. And personal brand building is a great way to really discover who you really are and really take the lead in cultivating and narrating the brand that is you.
And in telling your story, I feel like you managed to somehow echo the first words I've been saying at the beginning of the podcast there, and owning that story, I think, is really, yes, a key to your personal brand as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love what I do, Nick. I love that I get to work with people and really help them do the work to see who they are, because that's, again, it's more of a mission for me than just branding. I get to help people really dig deep within themselves, discover who they are, and really own it. Like we said, just really own who they are. And another thing that people tend to experience is what we call imposter syndrome. And that hits hard. It really does. When you feel that you're being or seen as someone that you don't feel you're quite there yet, it's kind of hard to really come to terms with that. And what I try to help clients understand is that feeling that you have, where you feel like people see you one way, but you're really not there yet. It's just you in the future kind of seeing yourself, or you're like, you know what? I can be that. I just need to do what I need to do to fill that gap, to close that gap, because you are that, right? So it's just a matter of, what do I need to do? What steps do I need to take to fill that gap so I no longer feel that discord within myself? That's all it is. That's what imposter syndrome, that's what I've summed it up to be, is that you see you can live up to that potential, but you just need to do what's necessary to do that. And we help you do that.
Well, and that was going to be, because you've touched on this a couple of times, and I'm sure as we, you know, have talked about looking inside and the brand that's looking back at you, what if you don't like what you see? What's the next step to change direction there?
You have to be completely honest with yourself that I don't like what I see. I went through it myself. And you go through it as you grow and you level up. Because even as you build the brand, there's different stages, there's different levels. So in each stage, you just got to kind of reassess. Just like you would with a corporate brand or any kind of a product, you reassess and see how people react to you, how your target audience reacts to you, how you feel about it, you know, kind of do an internal audit as well, and just take inventory and really see what it is you want to change and how you want to be seen, and then just do the work to be seen in that way. So there is some training involved. There's some workshops possibly involved, things that we can't do on the external. We encourage clients to do internally, whether it's seeing a therapist, whether it's self-help guidance, things of that nature, because it's really important. Your mental health is really important, even in the world of, or especially in the world of personal branding, because it takes a level of putting yourself out there. And with putting yourself out there, you become more susceptible to people's opinions, their feedback, their comments, and especially in the world of social media and all of that, where we're basically exposing ourselves to everyone else's two cents. you have to build up the skin for that. And a lot of times that means you have to know who you are so that you can reject who you're not. So it doesn't matter what people say, you know who you are. So I know it sounds kind of deep, but that's what's worked for me. That's what's working for my clients. It's just being able to take a really deep inventory of who you are and be ready to face the world.
Well, I love that message. And as you said a few short minutes ago, you can tell that you love this work and what you do. And I love what I do, which is talking with smart folks like you. And this is one of my favorite parts because I get to ask you, Lydia, for a brand that has made you smile recently.
It's not going to be too deep. It probably won't be a deep one. But a brand that's made me smile lately is it's this bag line. And I'm not into purses and stuff. I'm not really big on that. But it's this brand called Teflar Global. They have these amazing, cute bags that they partnered with UGG to do a line. And I've just been picking up all of them. Like, you have to actually go online and get it before they're sold out. But that line, it's made me smile because it's just to hear their story and how they were able to build that brand reputation to the point that people are waiting by their phone 9 o'clock to hit the button in order. I just think it's an amazing journey that they were able to take to be able to get to where they are, and they're affordable and all of that. So I think that brand has made me smile quite a bit. And then when people see me with it, it's kind of a big deal. So that brand has made me smile. But above all, my own clients, they really make me smile. If I do have to pick one, it's hard, but all my clients make me smile because they're just such amazing, amazing people. And every time I see them fall in love with themselves, oh man, it's just amazing to watch.
Awesome. Lydia, where can we send folks to learn more about who you are and what you do?
Okay, awesome. Well, since we're talking personal branding, I'm going to give both my personal brand and my corporate brand. Our corporate brand is Peer Branding Group. So that is our branding firm that works mainly with executives and entrepreneurs, helping them to enhance their brand and elevate their brand. But my personal brand is called The Corporate Socialite. So my personal website is thecorporatesocialite.com. And that's where you find information about myself, Lydia Pierre. I believe that business should be fun. So The Corporate Socialite is someone who helps to bring the world of business and fun back together. So that's where you can find my information.
Awesome. Well, this conversation has been a lot of fun, and we'll link up to all of that in our show notes at onbrandpodcast.com. Lydia, thanks for being on brand with us.
Thank you so much, Nick, for having me. It was a pleasure. Thank you for allowing me to dig deep and talk deep. It was an absolute pleasure.
The same. I smiled many times, and if we've made you smile, remember, you can listen free on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever your favorite platform may be. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.